you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to the Bill Press Pod. Good to see you. Well, it was clear from the Democratic National Convention that Joe Biden wants to build a big tent Democratic Party. From moderate left-to-center Democrats in the middle, like him and Kamala Harris, to older so-called Reagan Democrats on the right, and younger Bernie Sanders and AOC Democrats on the left, with a slice of disaffected Republicans like John Kasich and Colin Powell added to the mix. Which sounds good, but there are still rumblings among some progressives who are busting their butts to make Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren the Democratic nominee that they're not happy with Joe Biden still. They don't think he's progressive enough on the issues. They don't like his support for the Iraq War and the 1994 crime bill. And they're afraid he's going to be too willing to compromise with Republicans if he makes it to the White House. But despite their lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden, I mean, do they really want to risk another 4 years of Donald Trump? To find out, we decided to ask one of America's leading progressives, Congressman Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District, a big Bernie Sanders supporter and co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Congressman, good to catch up with you. It's been a long time, so thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, Congressman, you were a big supporter of Bernie Sanders in the primary here in 2020. How do you feel that a moderate like Joe Biden ends up being the nominee?
Well, you know, this has been an interesting year, to say the least, right? I traveled for Bernie to Iowa, Nevada, New Hampshire, did a lot of early travel when he was doing really well. And I think, you know, with everything with COVID, just the entire snow globe got shaken pretty hard and things clearly changed. But, you know, I'm with Bernie right now. We're excited about making sure that Donald Trump isn't the next president. We've got lots of work to do on that front. And, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that he and Kamala Harris are elected, because it's vital for this nation that we have presidents who are adults and have values in office. And we don't have that right now.
So is there any doubt in your mind that the progressives will line up behind Joe Biden? I mean, obviously, they disagree with him on some issues, but how do you square that circle, if you will?
Yeah, I have seen zero resistance from at least, you know, responsible progressive voices. There may be some Russian bots who claim they're progressive voices who cause some disarray. But really, you know, we know we're going to have some work to do in January to make sure that progressive values are on the agenda and that we're working hard for those. But we know that we have an open ear in Joe Biden. We certainly don't in Donald Trump. So, you know, it's not even that there's shades of gray right now. There is a white and a black contrast, a very different contrast between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I think from everything I have seen and heard, progressives understand that.
Do you has Joe Biden been open to ideas coming from Bernie Sanders, from your progressive caucus, from Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah, I'll give Bernie a lot of credit. Bernie, I think, has been, you know, just amazing in how he's, you know, not only strongly supporting Joe Biden, but, you know, doing the right outreach with him. They formed those commissions early on to talk about issues that they could work on together. There is a lot of cooperation even around the party platform, unlike the Republicans who have a dear leader. They don't need a party platform. And, you know, we're even working now on trying to find good people to serve in the administration as progressives. And, you know, that's coming from a number of sectors on the progressive side. So I do feel that we're going to have, you know, ears that will listen to us. I think we have to make our cases like we always do. But I feel that they have shown us in many ways, real openness to making sure that progressive values will be not just heard, but heard and understood in a Biden administration.
What issues are particularly are you looking for Joe Biden to maybe come a little farther left than he is right now?
Yeah. I mean, healthcare, absolutely, is one. I think that's a key issue. Obviously, I'm a supporter of Medicare for All, but it's an issue that, we need to do any kind of expansion so that people have it. We just saw through COVID even more than ever why that's needed and why we have such strong public support. I think that climate change is an issue. The Green New Deal is something I support that concept because I think it's addressing it in the way it needs to with the amount of emphasis it needs to. But I think, where I've seen Joe Biden really connect with it is around the jobs. I've always said that, me, I come from a labor background, Bill, and I think of all those solar cells and windmill blades and other things that we could be making in the U.S. with good family supporting union wages, that would certainly work towards climate change, addressing climate change. So I think there's a real place we can have some policy there. And, I personally think one of the issues that I've really risen to is on trying to stop the endless wars and, the fact that we have $740 billion right now going into defense, a 20% increase in the last 4 years at a time of relative peace is ridiculous. We need funds for things like healthcare and education and, other programs that benefit people. And so we've got to fight for those.
Right. It's interesting. If you listen to the president in his acceptance speech, which rambled on for an hour and 10 minutes.
It sure did.
he painted Joe Biden as the he may not be so far left, but boy, he's a Trojan horse for people like AOC and Bernie Sanders, and he might have added Mark Pocan, right?
Yeah, but this is Donald Trump, right? If he's breathing, he's lying. So I think we all understand that. I don't think anyone thinks after having the long career that Joe Biden has that suddenly now he's gonna be someone else's person. That's not a believable claim. Just like, people don't believe he's really religious, no matter how many times he says it, because he's proven it too many other times. In this case, Joe Biden's proven that, he's not a progressive. He's a more of a moderate Democrat. And those views are his views for decades. And it's not like suddenly he's flipping for anyone. So, that's good red meat for the Trump base. But I don't think it brings the type of voter he needs to actually win across the finish line.
It seems hard to make the case, looking at his 47 years in public life and the record, that Joe Biden is the closet socialist.
Right. No. And, it's just beyond belief. And I think that's the thing, is he's not going to really score those points like he tried to this week. It just doesn't pass decades of people's real experiences. It doesn't pass. You don't have a bunch of progressives saying, oh, yes, we've done it. We elected Joe Biden. There's none of this is there to back up that argument. So I think he's going to have a hard time making that particular argument stick.
Are you worried, to look at the other side of it, that okay, at the Democratic Convention, there was John Kasich, right? There was Colin Powell. There was former Congresswoman Susan Molinari. Worried that Joe Biden might be too eager to compromise, too willing to rush into bipartisanship?
Well, that's going to be all of our work on the issues after that. I mean, nothing is wrong with bipartisanship, but you don't want to see someone cave on issues. Because actually, I would argue from my career, Bill, if you can find what you have in common with someone, you'll often find those progressive values have overlap. It's just a matter of convincing someone who thinks they're a conservative that value they have is actually their value and their value alone, and we can get some things done. So nothing wrong with being bipartisan. Not that we want it to hold up any agenda, though, because I think, some people feel that happened in the first 2 years of the Obama presidency. Mm-hmm. But we absolutely are going to need to make sure that he knows the issues that we think are important moving forward. And I think coming out of COVID, healthcare will still be very prominent. I think investing in infrastructure, something that we strongly believe in, will be very prominent to get the economy back going. So I see a lot of places that progressives will agree with the Joe Biden agenda, or you could argue Joe Biden might agree with some of the progressive agenda. But also, I think independents and Republicans would agree with some of those things too, especially when you look at the polling on issues like, you know, healthcare and infrastructure spending.
Speaking of the polling, the one area, if you look inside the polls, where people say that Biden may have a disadvantage to Donald Trump, although he's doing well in the top at the top of the poll, is in the enthusiasm factor, the enthusiasm gap. And that's what some Democrats I talk to are worried about with the progressive community. Yeah, they might vote, but they're not going to, they're not enthusiastic about it. Do you sense that?
No. I have been on so many Zoom events, Bill, as you can imagine, as you probably are every day. I am not seeing that at all. People understand Donald Trump is, by people's words, a demagogue, a dictator, a despot. You know, they know how dangerous that is to democracy. And that is well understood because he really does represent all those values and different things that he's done in his actions. So I think there is absolutely an interest in getting rid of Donald Trump. Is their main reason going to the poll to elect Joe Biden or to get rid of Donald Trump? It's probably to get rid of Donald Trump. But they have that burning desire for all the reasons I just mentioned.
And today's podcast, our conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan, brought to you by the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, 1.3 million strong under President Mark Perron. They are the grocery retail workers who service at our great big grocery chains. They are the workers in our food processing plants, meat and poultry plants, chemical plants, and cannabis plants, all on the front lines during these days of the coronavirus, many of whom have either caught the COVID-19 or too many have actually died from it. We salute the members of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. Thank them for their support of the Bill Press Pod. Check out their website at ufcw.org.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So, Congressman, again, we're speaking with Congressman Mark Pocan. It's Wisconsin's, do I recall, third or
second.
Is it the first?
Second district.
I'm sorry, yes.
No worries.
In, in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's been in the news lately, Congressman, for something unfortunate, the police shooting of Jacob Blake and the resulting protests and in some cases riots in Kenosha, Wisconsin. That's not your district, Congressman. But what is your read on what's going on there now?
Well, and yeah, it's not my district, but it's my hometown. I grew up there, you know, and my mom's still there. In fact, I'm going next week to visit my mom, who's 91, when I go down there. And the one gentleman, Anthony Huber, who was the 26-year-old person with the skateboard that was shot, is the grandson of my mother's best friend who passed away about a year or so ago. So, you know, there's absolutely an understanding of what's going on. And, you know, to watch a video and see a police officer fire seven times into someone's back in front of their children at short range clearly shows the policing problem that we are not correcting in this country. You know, we passed a bill in the House to address many of the abuses and changes that we need to have. But if police officers are still this weak in America are doing that, we're not succeeding in reforming policing as it needs to be policed. And the fact that, you know, the entire convention this week, Bill, is all about, you know, fear of others. And they put that couple from Missouri who had their guns, the fear of others were out right there. And they're trying to act like that is the America. But the America really under Donald Trump is that 17-year-old kid who went to Trump rallies and idolizes Donald Trump, who went out there with a rifle, and the police that didn't stop him when he's walking down the street and they had interactions with him with a rifle. And then two people got killed who, you know, there's absolutely no justification for this person. That's murder, what happened. And, you know, that's the real America under Donald Trump. And that's what I think people have to be afraid of, is that he empowers those who might have fragile personalities or wrong inklings of how to act in a civilized society to do the very things they do. So they can all be dressed up very nicely on non-socially distanced chairs on the White House lawn. But those the entire week was what drives someone like that 17-year-old to then shoot at people and think they're protecting property as a vigilante, as opposed to allowing real law enforcement to do their jobs. And the fact that, again, he got a pass from law enforcement just shows us all the more why we've got to really have serious reform of policing in this country. And unfortunately, it's happening in you know, my state and my hometown. In fact, where our business, my mom and dad had a couple businesses in the uptown area. I'm curious to see some of the buildings that burned down, if it was any of the buildings that were buildings that we used to have our businesses in, you know. So it's very personal to be able to see something like that. I know many people down there, they're very nervous because of what's all going on. But I think the police down there have done a pretty awful job in responding to this. And I think, honestly, we need a little more from the elected officials down there.
I still haven't heard. I don't know. Maybe I've missed it. Why the police considered him such a threat, and why they even showed up, what this domestic violence was all about, what he was supposedly doing wrong. And again, he was unarmed. Why they felt, this officer felt, shooting him seven times. But you mentioned the 17-year-old. He not only got a pass from law enforcement, he got a pass and, in fact, a pat on the back from some people in the media, including my former co-host of Crossfire on CNN, Tucker Carlson, the other night, who said, I'm sure you've heard this clip, here it is again.
How shocked are we that 17-year-olds with rifles decided they had to maintain order when no one else would?
Yeah, that's Trump's America. That's not the convention. The pretty videos and pictures and words that were said during the convention that were still intending to put fear in people. The reality is all of that does what we saw in that 17-year-old person who thought that somehow their way of defending America was to go out there with a gun and to shoot people, which, again, without any training or any licensing or anything, is ridiculous. And yet the police gave him the pass. I mean, other media in Wisconsin, we had someone urging other militia to, you know, make sure they have enough bullets and everything in case, you know, and it was someone who has a major Wisconsin program in Madison and Milwaukee. I mean, this is irresponsible, but this is Donald Trump's America. This is what Donald Trump actually is about. And these people are actually parroting what Donald Trump has put out there so many times.
Are you worried, though, that Donald Trump can use this incidences like Kenosha or Portland, Oregon or Chicago or whatever, to turn this into the law and order election, right, where Joe Biden's on the side of the anarchist or whatever, I mean, however he paints it, and he's on the side of safety and keeping cities straight and suburbs safe.
He can try, but I think he's failing because, as we know, Donald Trump can never stop. He has no impulse control. And by the fact that you're seeing his movement embrace the 17-year-old, I don't think that's embraced by people in the suburbs, that you want a kid going around with a rifle shooting people. And that went the too far. So where he could, I think, you know, Portland was largely manufactured by him. Things in Minneapolis or Kenosha were events that occurred because of policing, different events where he could have manipulated it. I think, again, he's failed because he just can't help himself. He goes a little too far in trying to appeal to a racist element in America. And when he does that, the people I know in suburbs who may be concerned about what they see happening in Kenosha are also concerned that some kid's going to roam their neighborhood with a gun and have impunity.
So Wisconsin, Congressman, if there's any one state that I think people are looking at to say, has the tide turned at all? It's the state of Wisconsin, which Donald Trump won by 22,000 votes in 2016 for whatever reason, maybe lack of turnout or whatever. What's the mood in Wisconsin? How do you read the mood in Wisconsin today between Biden and Trump?
Yeah, I mean, we are still a purple state. But 2 years ago, Tammy Baldwin, who is a progressive U.S. senator, won our state with 11 points. So clearly there's capacity for any Democrat to win Wisconsin. And we did that by having increased turnout because in 2016, you're right, we had about a 200,000 to 250,000 Dem voter drop-off. People who didn't come out because Hillary Clinton never came to Wisconsin and didn't put any resources into Wisconsin. They assumed too much and people stayed home. That didn't happen. In 2018, the turnout in Madison, who I know you've been to because we've been there together, 93% turnout we had in the city of Madison in 2018. So we will have in 2020 significant increased turnout. It will not be a repeat of 2016. That coupled with we're the number one state in the country for farm bankruptcies right now, especially dairy farm bankruptcies. The fact that we didn't bring American jobs back as Donald Trump promised. You look at all the fact that he's handled COVID awfully and barely mentioned it this week. And yet it's the one thing every family thinks about every single day as they go off to work or go to a grocery store and have to wear a mask and have to wash things after they get home. That all, I think, will make us in a place that, you know, Joe Biden's been ahead in the polls by higher single digits for the last several months. And I think at the end of the day, I think that will make sure that Joe Biden wins Wisconsin.
And we've talked before about efforts on Republicans to nationwide, particularly in Wisconsin, to suppress the vote. And now you've got Donald Trump out there warning about vote by mail. I know Wisconsin had some difficulties in the April primary with the vote by mail. Are you worried about that? Is the state on top of that?
Yeah. So a couple of things I think that are important to note. One, our state party chair is Ben Wickler, who used to be the national political director at Move On. He's an organizer through and through. And he is amazing party chair. So he is ready to make sure that we're getting information out to everyone about voting and voting early and getting it done to make sure that you don't have to wait till Election Day in case things are bad around COVID to go and vote. But also, you know, our bipartisan elections board voted to send everyone a notice about being able to get an absentee ballot. So, you know, even Republicans, we saw in our April election that was very middle of the pandemic and there was all kinds of court cases and everything all in the final 10 days. Over 70% of the people voted via absentee and we had record turnouts for our spring election. So people like that. Democrats, Republicans, independents would like to vote from home rather than risking getting sick. And so we're just telling people, you know, request that absentee ballot if you haven't already. You're going to get it 6 weeks out. Fill it out right away because the candidates aren't going to change. So why wait till the weekend before? Drop it in the mail, even though Donald Trump's tried to create chaos with the postal system. You'll have 5.5 weeks for it to get there. And there's a site you can check to make sure it's been received. And if you don't trust the Postal Service because of what Donald Trump's done, drop it off at your city, village, or town hall. It's the same as showing up on Election Day. If people do that and then get their friends and neighbors and coworkers to do that, we will largely have taken care of things early and then we'll do the final get of the vote for Election Day.
Right. So you think that the turnout will, there'll be more turnout and more people voting by mail
Absolutely, especially given what happened in spring when people told us we couldn't. People in Wisconsin, didn't matter what your political stripe, don't like to be told you can't vote because we've always had some of the highest turnout in the country. We vote, and I think that's going to happen here.
Right. So finally, Congressman, let's go back to Washington. And there are millions of Americans who were able to get through the economic crisis caused by the pandemic, and particularly Donald Trump's lack of leadership on the pandemic. They were able to get through because they got $600 in unemployment benefits. All of that has run out. And there ain't no more another bill coming along. Why not? Why not? Why isn't there another stimulus pack? And will there be?
I hope so. We did a one which had $600 extension a week back in May. We needed to have it done by the end of July, but the Republicans didn't act until about 10 days before the end of July. And then they can't even pass their own bill because they don't have enough votes in their members. So they put out something. And then the president did these fake executive orders because they largely won't work, that said $300 extra, and then saying somehow states will pick up the rest, which an extra 100, which likely won't happen. But the funding source he's using is the FEMA disaster relief fund, as we're having hurricanes right now in the United States, would take money from that. And there's only funds for a few weeks of unemployment, even at that, with that money. So again, it's not a real order. It's very much Donald Trump, right? It's all flash and no substance. So we need to take care of folks because they're hurting badly because of it. And I am hoping that while the Senate went home in August, when we went back to do bills around Postal Service and other things, that they might, they've said they would be open to something maybe in September. You know, if their polling numbers are bad enough, they're going to have to do something. And it's not just that $1,200 check that Donald Trump is desperate to put out there with his name on. It's really the unemployment monies. It's the monies for COVID testing. It's protecting those frontline workers. It's helping the state and local governments that desperately need money. It's helping small businesses that are still have increased demand or decreased demand at no fault of their own, and folks who are unemployed who've lost a job at no fault of their own.
And part of that help to the United States Postal Service?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we passed our bill last Saturday. That was $25 billion as requested by the Board of Governors. And that's what we had in our HEROES Act as well. We've been very consistent on what they need. And, you know, it's important. It's not just about Donald Trump trying to create chaos around the election. It is about people getting prescription drugs, our veterans and seniors. Most of the people in the VA, that's how they get their drugs. Getting your paychecks, getting packages out as a small business that's already struggling because of COVID-19. We need to get it done right.
All right. Congressman Mark Buchan, all eyes on Wisconsin this year for sure, more than ever. Thanks so much for joining us today. Good to talk to you.
Of course, Bill. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And there we go. The strong message from Congressman Mark Buchan. Get out and work and do all you can, progressives, to elect Joe Biden. Thanks so much for joining us today. And we ask you as a favor, please subscribe to the Bill Press Pod if you haven't already done so. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, pick up the Bill Press Pod, click on subscribe, and you are in. And we'd also ask you to follow me and encourage you to follow me on Twitter at Bill Press Pod, at Bill Press Pod. Next, a very special podcast with Dr. Bandy Lee. You remember her. She's the one who organized the mental health professionals to write the book, The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, and to join us on our podcast and our special series on The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump. Our next podcast will feature an interview by Dr. Bandy Lee with Mary Trump, Donald Trump's niece and author of the new scathing book about Uncle Donnie. Don't miss that next episode of the Bill Press Pod. Meanwhile, stay strong, stay safe. We'll see you later.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.